Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I mean, I think these decisions are hard. And, you know, like I said, I think we want nothing more than to play really well over the next 2 weeks. But those little decisions you're asking the question, they're phrasing the question about, like, what it would be like if we're selling. But I think the decisions are hard no matter what this time of year. I don't think that buyers view their decisions as simply either. It's a complicated time of year, and there's a number of teams that are in sort of similar positions, and so I think a lot will play out around baseball over the 2 weeks now here and elsewhere in terms of teams figuring out exactly where they are and making their best estimate of that at the right time and making decisions.
The decision may have been made easier yesterday when the Cubs lost to the Red Sox 8-3. That was the voice of Cubs boss Jed Hoyer, who addressed the media before the Cubs 8-3 loss to the Red Sox yesterday. He was also in the booth again last night. He was on Marquee. And again, every time that I've seen Jed Hoyer in the booth this year, and I'm pretty sure I've seen all of his appearances, something of consequence has happened. And last night, it was a good consequence. It was Cody, the first of his two homers, Cody Bellinger bomb, belly bomb, going oppo. So I got to go back. I got them all on my phone somewhere. But every single time that Hoyer has been in there, good and bad, something happened. And it did again last night. But the Cubs, again, 7 games back, 42-48. As the Cubs try again today, 12:45 pregame, Marcus Stroman against James Paxton, 1:20 is when Pat and Zach will have the call ahead of Gabe Ramirez's pregame show. Let's dig in deeper to the Cubs and White Sox and whatever moves us to talk about with my next guest. Paul Sullivan is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We bring him in now here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What's happening, Paulie?
What's up, Groat? Looking Gallagher Way here, so hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I got you. It's a little bit tough, okay. but I got you. Is the action hot at Gallagher Way right now?
Smoking hot.
Oh, yeah.
You got a band down there. You got the kids throwing baseballs on the turf, and it's happening.
Sell it, baby. I want you selling all that stuff. That is a hype video right there, man.
I'm a little worried about you, Gro, when you just I heard you say something about saving Jed Hoyer interviews on your phone. Is that true?
No. What I meant, Paul, was, and it's a good question, because if it wasn't clear to you, it's probably not clear to our listeners. I write it down in my notes, in my little notes, my hosting notes. I say, Jed Hoyer, this date, but it's not very organized, so that's why I couldn't just recall. So I have a hell of a system, Paul.
Okay, so you don't have the actual interviews, like, downloaded on your phone.
No.
Every time Jed's on Marquee. That's kind of scary to think that you would be saving those.
Yeah, that would be scary forever. That would be what we call obsession, and I don't want to become that. That's a bad look. Yeah.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, for you and for everybody. We're talking to Paul Sullivan, who is live at Wrigley Field. Paulie with the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Rohde on The Score. What stood out to you of the things that Jed Hoyer addressed with the media before the game yesterday?
Well, I have to be honest, I wasn't there. I did hear basically the same stump speech last week in Milwaukee on whether he's
a buyer or seller and how hard it is. And I, honestly, you could play the same thing every year. I mean, that's the way it is this time of year for a lot of teams, because when you add to the playoffs and you have so many mediocre teams in both the AL Central and the NL Central, and, you know, you're going to have a lot of teams that are semi in contention at this point of the year, and it is a tough decision, but, you know, it's no different from any other year, I don't think. There's just maybe a few more teams that don't know what they're going to do, and the Cubs are one of them. And really, you look at the team six games under 500, and there should be no question that they should be sellers, but since they're in such a bad division, they've got a shot. So it's up to Jed to, you know, do something.
Wow. Yeah. So, sorry. We're just bringing it down a little bit there, a little ambulance there. I mean, we love Nat sound, but that is the Nat sound of Wrigleyville, isn't it, Paul, hearing a fire engine driving around?
Well, that's kind of a Chicago backdrop, yeah, in my mind at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is sad but true. So what is the number? So the, as you said, Cubs are 42-48. There's seven games back in the division, so you can make the case with as many games that are left that seven games and in that division, it's not too much to overcome. Are the Reds real? All of that kind of stuff. What do you think the number is in their minds to where they would sell in terms of games back in the division?
I would think if they're where they're at right now, they would sell. A week is a lot to make up. But let's, you know, August 1st deadline, so you got 2 months to make it up. I would say if they're within three or four games, they could, you know, probably at least keep the status quo. But, you know, they're going through the same thing with Stroman as with Wilson, except that, you know, there wasn't that many teams really interested in Wilson, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams interested in Stroman if he's available. And, you know, it's a tough call. You don't want to lose him for nothing. On the other hand, he says he loves this place, and if you do think you can sign him back, then by all means keep him. So I think that's the toughest call. I think Bellinger for sure I would trade, especially now that he's hot. You should stop the act on that a little quicker. But those are really the two big guys right now.
Do they have to keep one of either Kyle Hendricks or Marcus Stroman in order to be at least look like they're serious about next year? Because, like, if you just start trading away all your starting pitchers, you're heading into, unless you've got a real plan, you're heading into another really bad year next year.
Yeah, I think if they did that, they definitely would be signaling a semi-rebuild. You know, you got Ben Brown in the system. He's supposed to be ready by next year, I would think. And Palencia, you know, came on in relief this year, but I think they think of him maybe long-term as a starter. So they do have some guys, or maybe, you know, Killian. But, yeah, I don't see the Cubs going in that direction just because of the fact that you know, they basically have already done that, and this is supposed to be a time where they're coming out of the rebuild. And, you know, we've yet to see that, but most of the guys they got in the 2021 trade, the big sell-off, you know, really none of them are here yet, except Wesneski was here a little while. It's you know, they've got a lot of guys for those deals that really we haven't seen what they can do yet.
That's Paul Sullivan, writer, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. You can find him on Twitter at PW Sullivan. I'm Mark Grody on The Score. Let's switch over to the White Sox. They lose last night to the Braves 9-0. Michael Kopech didn't even make it out of the first inning. Even though the White Sox are, I guess, like, if you're trying really hard, you could still make a case for them 8.5 back in the division. But I'm not making a case for them. Is there a case for them, you think, anything other than starting to do what they probably dread doing, and that is to break up what everybody thought was a promising core?
Yeah, I think that's the only answer at this point. You know, you heard Frank on the post-game show, Frank Thomas, last night, just basically so down the team that he thinks this core should be broken up because they really haven't proven anything yet. And that would probably mean, like, Eloy, Kopech, you know, a couple guys that are big names. I don't think they would trade Cease or Luis at this point. But, you know, they really need a a shock to the system there. And this team's not doing it. I think Fox fans are tired of seeing it. It's a shame because it really looked like the rebuild was headed in the right direction a couple years ago, and now it's regressing. So I don't see how Han has any other choice than to start dumping some of these guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. Last thing for you, Paulie, before we let you get back to your dance party, Northwestern, according to John Morosi, is interested in baseball coaches and candidates with Major League Baseball ties. Joe Girardi and Mark Loretta are on the early list, as is the White Sox assistant GM Chris Getz. Another guy, Ben Greenspan, highly regarded Michigan assistant, could also be considered. But you know the names that are popping off my page, and those are Joe Girardi and Chris Getz. And I don't even know if Girardi is doing the game again today. Has he received any attention?
Yeah. I haven't seen him today, but he is doing the game. I would be shocked if he did that, because I think he wants to manage in the majors again, and I think he will get another shot somewhere, maybe even here in Chicago. So I don't see that happening. Loretta sounds like a better candidate. I don't think Chris Getz would do it because, I think the White Sox have some plans for him after Rick Hahn is gone, whenever that is. So I don't see that happening either. But, it's a tough call to change your career and go into Big Ten Northwestern coaching. It's a bad program. It's coming off of a scandal of sorts with his coach. And, I don't know who would want it, really.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man, for sure, unless they just threw the millions at him or something like that. And I don't know, and I'm assuming
– baseball coach at Northwestern. Did anyone – let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When was the last time Northwestern baseball was even on your thoughts?
Right.
Screen,
I mean, unfortunately, right. It's because of Jim Foster getting fired. You're right. I mean, nobody cares. I had to think, because, as we know, Brian Anderson is now the interim coach, the former Chicago White Sox player. I had to even think about that. And I was like, yeah, I think I remember there being a one-line story about Brian Anderson being the assistant at Northwestern. That may have been the last time I thought about Northwestern baseball, Paul.
Yeah, it's not a program that's really going to generate interest in Chicago. It's hard enough to get interested in the football team, let's face it. So, it's a sad situation. They didn't do their due diligence in hiring the guy, and now he's gone, and hopefully he didn't create too much damage to the program. But, I think they should just let Anderson stick there a while and see what he can do.
Yep. Paul, thank you, man. I'll let you get back to the party at Gallagher Way.
Yeah, it's hopping. If you want to come out, I'll save you a spot, man.
All right, man. I appreciate you as always. That is Paul Sullivan. He is the award-winning writer and columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Again, on Twitter, PW Sullivan. Yeah, if you didn't hear, which I'm positive you did, Northwestern fired their coach, Jim Foster, for engaging in bullying and abusive behavior. The assistant coach is indeed Brian Anderson. You remember Brian Anderson, promising prospect for the White Sox, did not work out his career. I think he was a pitcher for a while too, wasn't he? Did he pitch? Yeah, I think Brian Anderson was one of those guys who tried to resurrect his career by becoming a pitcher. But Foster canned 1 year into the job, and to Paul's point, that 1 year was 10-40. Yeah, I mean, we don't really care about college baseball. This is not an indictment of Northwestern when it comes to the baseball program. It's just not something we don't cover, college baseball. I know Shady Sears probably does a little bit, but
very, very little, very little.
Keeping an eye on the prospects. Well, actually, where did their guy Shaw come from? Isn't he a Big Ten guy?
Maryland. Yeah,
Maryland. He's a Maryland guy. Now, you know what? I still don't think of Maryland as Big Ten, so forget
it's
that.
It's super weird, right?
Yeah. It's a very odd thing.
Well, isn't UCLA coming to the Big Ten now or something like that? Or at least they're going to be playing them now, right?
Everybody's filled out their applications. It's just a matter of who they accept at this point. They've got Northwestern's hundreds and hundreds of applications on their desk. But yeah, Joe Girardi and Mark Loretta both went to Northwestern, as did Chris Getz, who I didn't even ask Paul about that, but I guess he probably indicated within his answer that you're not going to go, you know, in Chris Getz's case, a spot in the front office, and Girardi being Joe Girardi. And, you know, Mark Loretta sounds interesting. I had no idea if any of those guys would be interested in any of that at all. But that is definitely something that we will continue to cover right here on The Score. But when we come back, we got room for you, by the way. If you want to text or call, 312-644-6767. Something awesome happened last night in the White Sox television broadcast. We will explain that to you and bring that to you coming up. And I got a cool project that I'm going to be working on that I would like to share with you when we return here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Go get it, baby.
Let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Right field. Gone. Grand slam. 30th of the season for Matt Olson.
If you're the White Sox, this is just nightmare fuel right now. Kopech cannot find the zone. The one pitch that he does is obliterated. What a start for this Braves offense already in the second half. And we're not even an out into it.
The Braves, as you have heard time and time again, lead Major League Baseball in first inning runs.
They also lead Major League Baseball in home runs by a lot. And it all added up last night. The Braves shut out the White Sox 9-0. That call was on Bally Sports. Matt Olson with a mighty grand slam off of Michael Kopech, and it was a nightmare for Michael Kopech, a nightmare for the White Sox, as he goes two-thirds of an innings, allows four runs, grand slam, four hits, and just for the hell of it, while he was there, he walked four. That was obviously the big problem for Michael Kopech last night, and it is. It's an absolute nightmare because it kind of, like, as if the Sox didn't clinch a playoff-less season earlier this year, like when they hit the 15 mark. The White Sox are now 17 games under 500. They are 8.5 games back in the division. And we're going to hear from Pedro Grifol trying to explain the mess that was last night here in just a second. But first, something awesome did happen in the broadcast last night, and I feel like I was rewarded for watching a lot of that game last night. I was rewarded towards the end of the game. And intermittently throughout this game, the White Sox did a good job of finding, or NBC Sports Chicago, finding an Atlanta super celebrity, Hall of Famer Andruw Jones was in the stands. He was in the good seats, the recliners, in the first three rows with his wife or girlfriend. I don't know who the woman was. I'm just going to assume that it was his wife. And they were hanging out, and the camera kept showing him. And Ozzie Guillen, who does pre and post on NBC Sports Chicago, is connected with Andruw Jones. He's friends with Andruw Jones. So he kept saying throughout the broadcast, I'm going to touch him. So he's texting Ozzie, or he's trying to text Andruw Jones throughout the game, and apparently Andruw Jones is not responding to the text messages. So they're having fun with it. They're like, oh, this guy's not good, and they're showing him on the camera. And finally, Ozzie decides, the hell with this. I'm calling this guy because he obviously sees that I'm calling, that I'm texting. Now I'm going to try to call the dude, and he picked up. We saw him on camera. And this was on the air, and I just thought it was a great TV broadcast moment.
But, oh, here we go.
With he rolled his eyes, Ozzy. He rolled his eyes.
Outstanding. So now all we have to Ozzy. Is he on the phone with him right now?
Aquí, mira, Chipper John. Hasta al lado de Chipper John, Andrew Jones. Sí, no quiere hablarme. Está bien. Aquí en el estudio viéndote al lado de tu esposa. Mira, desgraciado.
That's a big win for Ozzy.
That's enough. That's enough. Get this guy out of here. That was awesome, though. So, again, and that's Gordon Beckham doing the game. Beckham from Atlanta. Perfect that he is there. That is Ozzie Guillen live on the air talking to Andrew Jones. So it was hilarious. It was almost like Andrew Jones just became a fan, like the fans that are always at White Sox games and more at Cubs games where they are waving at the camera. You see them talking to their friends. Oh, neat. I'm on TV. And that's what went on with Ozzie Guillen and Andrew Jones last night. So I know a lot of you did not get a chance to hear that or see that because you probably didn't stay with the White Sox. And I totally understand. Look, Michael Kopech was rough last night as we're talking about it. And how do you explain what happened last night? Let's go to Pedro Grifol, the White Sox manager, to try to get some semblance of an answer here.
You say rusty and Kopech. You put this more on the time off for him?
He threw his bullpens. He was ready to pitch. He just couldn't find his command, But he felt good, man, which is a good sign for us. He felt good. He was strong. It's just about, just fine-tuning his mechanics and, getting back to work with Ethan. He'll hit the ball 5 or 6 days from now.
All right, Dad.
The body language we see from Kopech, sort of a natural byproduct of just the struggling he's going through him right now. He just looks different on the mound than he did earlier in the season.
I don't know. I mean, when you're fighting your mechanics a little bit, probably, and you're fighting the strike zone, maybe you get to thinking. I'm not sure how that affects, the body language or not. But he had a tough first inning. So maybe that could be a result of that. I'm not sure.
Pedro Grifol there trying to explain Michael Kopech's inning last night as he was pulled out in the first inning and going on in the game too. One thing that's been a pattern for the White Sox, and it was very present last night, is two strike hitting. Brian Shaw gets in the game last night and ends up giving up 4 runs. He allows 4 straight hits during that inning with 2 outs. That is an absolute issue for them. It's not supposed to work that way.
That's bad, yep.
That's the way it's been working a lot for the White Sox this year. And there's nothing more frustrating than that. I think, 2 out runs, they suck. 2 strike hits, they're worse. And that's what Brian Shaw was doing last night. Not to mention that just about every inning was ending with a double play. The Braves had 3 double plays through 5 innings last night. And ended up with 4 in the game. Fittingly, the game ended on a double play as well. So, and look, Atlanta is great. That's a terrific team they are stacked. Like I said, they could pitch it. They could hit it. You got Spencer Strider going tonight, 11-2 with the 3.44 ERA. And as they were talking about last night, he's just ripping those 4-seamers down the middle of the plate and saying, go get it. Go get it. And teams are not getting it. A little bit like Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn has lived on fastballs, and I've always been scared of that. Like, eventually, isn't somebody, I know you got all these varietable fastballs, but eventually fastballs, major league hitters are going to be on it. They were not on Lance Lynn the last time. Lance Lynn coming off that, this is a big one for Lance Lynn and for the White Sox organization, because if GMs are zeroing in on Lance Lynn right now, this is the one where you say, okay, he was really good in the 7 shutout innings he had and the 11 strikeouts and 0 walks, even though the game was a nightmare because that was the game where Toronto wins at 6-2 and 10, the ground ball fest, where just about every one of their runs was just a ground ball and you know, so they deserve to win and all of that. But if you saw that game, you know it was ground balls. But the White Sox, unfortunately, have not made their own luck this year. But if Lance Lynn is good and really good today, you're starting to bring up that value for him no matter what he has done this season. And he has been bad this year, 5-8 with a 6.03 ERA. But he's a veteran in this league with a very good track record, even his early time with the White Sox. So if he does it again today, that's another guy. I mean, Lucas Giolito is the guy we're talking about the most. But watch Lance Lynn and hope that he can continue to put it together. So Lynn against Spencer Strider in the White Sox tonight. One other thing I want to hear, and this is really self-serving because I picked Tim Anderson to be my second half guy to have the breakout to get over what has ailed him at the plate. And he had a couple of singles last night, so a couple of sharp singles. So let's talk about that with Pedro Grifol. T.A. looked like he was having a good time, Pedro.
T.A. had a couple of hits. You liked what you saw?
I did. I liked his work today. I liked, you know, the way he got after it. I mean, he had a really good day's work. He hit a ton, felt good. You know, overall, he was really good. He was locked in. And it doesn't surprise me that he went out there and got a couple of hits, made a couple of good plays. He looked good today all day long.
Yeah, he needs it, man. I mean, he needs it for the sake of the White Sox. He needs it for the sake of his own career to get his. And he's another guy too, who we know what he's capable of. We know what the track record is with batting titles and big, massive moments for the White Sox. So it's not like this guy necessarily has to prove something, but I think for his own self and his own future and what money he might make or may not make going forward, Tim Anderson needs to get his act together here in the second half for sure. Texter 708, where is David Bodie? He could play third base and hit better than anyone they've had there recently. David Bodie's playing for AAA, right? He's not hurt or anything, right, Sean?
He's in Iowa, but he's not on the 40-man roster.
Oh, anymore. He's not even on the 40-man mm-hmm. roster anymore.
So
he
could have potentially become a free agent, but he opted to stay in Iowa to keep his contract. So he's still making like $3 million, I think, playing for Iowa.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, hey, good for him. He did the right thing. I remember David Bodie, when he was with the Cubs and he was working miracles, David Bodie, rhymes with Grody, hitting home runs and doing what he does. And then he said, and the Cubs came to him and said, gave him a what, like a 3-year, $15 million, something like that.
I guess it was like 5 years, $15 million.
Yeah, just
something like
to
that.
Be like, hey, he knows he's a grinder. He knows he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be up and down throughout his career. That was a really smart decision by David Bodie. And yeah, I mean, look, David Bodie's not the guy that I'm thinking about right now. That's a stretch that David Bodie is the guy that needs to come up and save you.
No, I do have, we do have some pregame cuts here from David Ross giving updates on Nick Madrigal and Dansby Swanson.
Bring
those
it.
Two guys are good, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, one of them is.
Yeah. You say you got that right now, Sean?
Yeah, feeling better. We'll see how he looks tomorrow. My guess is he won't be active tomorrow, would be my guess, but getting better every single day. Running feels good. Hitting, been able to track. I think he was tracking Drew's bullpen today, taking reps in the cage, taking reps on the field for ground balls. A little timid coming in on some, like, the running part of like some slow roller stuff like that. And then I think it still bothers him a little bit when he's having to run. And so that's going to be an important part of his game. Yeah, good progress for Nick. Looks really good. Feels good. I think the hope is if things continue to progress, we could actually get him on a rehab assignment before we go on the road. So, like, that would be and hopefully with, you know, maybe not too much time off to just get a couple reps, some at bats, and see him soon. That's the hope. Now, there's a lot that could go wrong in the middle of that, and we're going to be cautious with the history. But he feels great, and the trainers are extremely positive from what they thought it might be.
Cubs manager David Ross right there talking about Nick Madrigal. That tape was from just a short while ago. So that's good news for Nick Madrigal. Actually, he was playing very well before he went down. I think he was playing well in the game in which he was injured going after a foul ball. So hopefully Madrigal is back soon. And then he was talking about Dansby Swanson. Sounds like not going to go today, possibly in the next couple of days. The good news, if they're being honest about the injury, is that it is, I believe, is a heel contusion, ankle contusion, one of my favorite words, which essentially means bruise. So he's hurting and he is uncomfortable. This sounds like one of those cases where if, you know, they really, 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 really needed him today, he'd be able to go. But I don't know the extent to which Dansby Swanson is feeling that contusion right now. Couple of things here before we get out of here. I'm Mark Grody on The Score. Cubs baseball coming up. Marcus Stroman against James Paxton, 12:45. So Gabe Ramirez is going to be doing the pregame. He'll be doing the postgame, just like he did yesterday. Zach Zabeman and Pat Hughes are doing the call of the game. So that's the booth configuration today. And let me not leave out Paulie Zerang either. But Sean Sears has just been informed, or at least by his calculation, he has been informed that Gabe Ramirez will be singing, this boy band singer Gabe Ramirez will be singing the stretch today? Is that what you, because I don't have this information.
Yeah, that's what he's informed me of. I think he's doing this to rub it in, because he knows he's getting to do something I'd love to do.
Oh,
and then on
God.
Top of that, he's
is this
getting
killing
to
you?
Sing, a little bit. I texted him, I'm trying to be really nice for you, but I'm very jealous.
That's incredible, man. That is, I will be tuned in. So be tuned in the seventh inning. We're going to find out just how good of a singer our guy is.
Yeah.
Does he still have it?
I don't know. He was yelling at Anthony Heron and I one day. We were singing a song together on the air for a moment, and he told us we were both flat.
Okay.
But he very calculatedly did not sing. So,
interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting. All right. Well,
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well,
and if it's bad, I will definitely make fun of him for it. And if it's good, then yes. I'll just probably just wear it.
I do love listening to you two guys, man. It's funny. She got Sean, the Cubs fan, Gabe, the Sox fan. He admits he's a big Sox fan.
He is.
Loving life. He's finding out that life is pretty cool at Wrigley Field. Maybe this will change his ways. Maybe this will make him become a Cub. I mean, come on. If they're letting him sing this, maybe they're trying to change him. We'll give you whatever you want,
Get
Gabe.
Him a jersey.
Yeah.
Shake hands with Clark the Cub, you know?
They found out about his Hulu gig, and they're like, yo, we got to get this guy in while we still have him. You know?
He Gabe Ramirez from Hulu?
Yeah. Lollapalooza? Neat. The other little thing I just wanted to share with you, too, I will be starting a podcast very soon here for Odyssey. And for 670 The Score, it has been appropriately named. It is named The Daily Score.
I saw some stuff about what's going on with this, man.
Yeah, we've been working on this for a little while. It's a podcast that I will do Monday through Friday. It's 10 to 15 minutes a day where I will essentially get to talk about any topic that I would like. And we've decided to keep it to Chicago sports. So whichever team whatever's hot, whatever I'm interested in, 10 to 15 minutes a day, I will be either talking for that time. Maybe I'll have a guest on. Whatever. Maybe we'll play some cool interviews. Whatever. But we are as they say, we are very close to launching the latest Score Odyssey podcast.
Very cool. That's awesome, man. So a little Grody Shorties, but every day then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that just became daunting. Okay. Yeah. Every damn day.
Give me the keys, Lisa.
Every day. Yes, every day. I keep thinking about that part. It's awesome to be doing a podcast. I thought, oh, man, that's every damn day. I got to do that and come up with something. But no, I can't wait. I wouldn't have agreed to do it if I didn't want to do it. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. I'll be able to fill in some more details and figure out exactly which day we're doing it. Ray Diaz will be the executive producer of the show, so we are in good hands that way as well. Thank yous to the people who came on this show today, including James Fox of Future Sox, Gabe Ramirez, who you are just about to hear from out at Wrigley Field, Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune joined us as well, and our executive producer today, Sean, sometimes Shady Sears. For him, I am Mark Grody. I'll look forward to talking to you soon on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.